Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag @2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're
well, welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dockery. Grateful for everyone who can, who has, and who will join us for this next hour and a half on Talk Straight, sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, where we simply address issues confronting families and neighborhoods and young people across urban America. The number to call is here, 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. You may call in and join us live in the podcast studio tonight for this episode of Talk Straight. Now, if we have not learned anything, COVID in America, over the last year, it should at least be that there is a serious need to focus on the education of young people all across America. Okay? The truth is that there are some very specific learning needs of people that are directly connected to how they're socially orientated based on their economic situation, based on the dynamics of family, based on societal pressures. We see more young people now facing things like depression and suicide, things of that nature. So there's a tremendous need for us to refocus our attention here. And again, if there's only one positive thing that came from the pandemic over the last year, it should be that this has come to light. I would argue that there are many other things. April 1st, 2021, how do you educate a young man in the 21st century post-COVID era. How do you do that? Well, in that title of our show and our topic tonight, there's a lot of things there. One, it tells us that specifically, as I alluded to earlier, COVID is a concern. And there's something within that era, that period. It's really on about a year from March 2020 to March 2021, really marked a full year. Here we are, April 1st. In that 1 year, what has been brought to light, okay, in terms of what we could do or should do as a community, as a nation, as a society, to ensure that all of our children, regardless of their walk in life, their class or race, things of that nature, their gender, that all of them have the best opportunities to grow, to develop, and be what they want to be. But specifically, for a population that has struggled for a long time, and that is young males, that's what all the data says, particularly in urban American communities. All right? Second Timothy, the third chapter, the 15th and the 16th verse, reads like this. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Each of those things directly relate to the process we call education. The inference here is that the word of God has embedded in it the basis for educating, the focus for educating, the intent, the aim for educating, particularly those who are on the periphery of society, who are at risk in post-COVID times. All right? Now, let's look at it a little bit closer, this concept of education. Now, I encourage you to give me a call here, 657-383-0944. I'd love to engage you. If there are any educators out there, anybody that's following us on Facebook Live, feel free. Post your question and comment. I'll be happy to entertain them. All I ask we do is that we show courtesy, respect to one another, even if you have a differing opinion than someone else. There's an opportunity for us all to learn something, starting with myself. But let's look at it. Let's look at the concept of education. Consider that this word is derived from the Latin educo, okay? And what it means is to educate or to train. In practice, what it is a process that facilitates teaching and learning. That's what education is. Now, what we should consider, though, is that in the process of teaching and learning, there is the acquisition of knowledge, new skill sets, values, beliefs, and even habits. Education methods include things like putting learning in the form of storytelling, group discussions or individual engagement, direct teaching, right, training of different sorts, and even involves research or directed research. Education is frequently takes place under the guidance of a teacher or an instructor. But learners may also be educated on their own just by real-life experience, picking things up day by day. It's less formal, but every moment of life is a teachable moment. That's what's important to understand, right? Even though education can take place in formal environments and structured environments, right? Learning can take place anywhere. So, doctor, how do you know when someone has learned a skill or taken on new knowledge, or they've improved or changed their values or beliefs. Well, by definition, learning is you know you've learned when you can see a change in a person's behavior. You measure learning by a change in their outlook, their behavior, after they've been introduced or exposed to a certain skill set or knowledge of certain things. That's the greatest indication that they've learned. And as I said earlier, when we talk about education, it's the process of teaching and learning. Something or someone is providing instruction. Let me tell you, beloved, life will teach you a thing or two. You don't have to be a PhD or master's or anything else. But if you live long enough and you go through an experience and it does not kill you, there's a lesson to be learned. Hence what we're talking about with this post-COVID era. What did we see? What can we learn from that? Well, one of them is that when everybody else stayed at home out of fear of being sick or getting other loved ones sick, young people were out, and too many of them were engaged in destructive behaviors that caused the loss of lives. That's one thing we can learn. When they were supposed to be at home or expected to be in an online learning situation, where do we find them? We found them out in the streets, engaged in destructive behavior. Now, do I say that to put them down? No, I'm trying to show you what we can learn about our focus for educating young people post-COVID. See, COVID told us that people were concerned about certain things, right? It told us that as a nation, we need to adopt better health habits, right? And it even exposed people of different philosophies and ideas. But specifically, what it showed us is that when some people were in public schools, they were behind already. And now that we're beginning to open up, we can see just how far behind they were when you shut them down and when you expected them to learn and engage in certain ways. They missed the ball. It's not over for them, but it tells us what we got to do in this post-COVID era to ensure that they will learn, that they will prosper, and they will do well. Okay? Now, really, when we're talking about how teaching is done, it's a concept in education called pedagogy. It comes from the Greek word, a Greek concept. And what it has to do with is the method or the style in which the instructor or the teacher provides instruction. Life, as I said earlier, has a way of knocking us upside the head when can't nothing or nobody else get our attention. Help me, Holy Ghost. But guess what? If you live through that experience, you could learn something. Badly enough, some people don't seem like they gain anything. You turn upside down, they still haven't learned nothing. And that would be a tragedy. After all we've been through, that we learn nothing from it, that would be a tragedy. So pedagogically, I would like for us to do is to think about how we can take even what was perceived as a negative experience and translate that into instruction. For one, parents need to be more directly involved and keep up with where their children are academically. They should know what the curriculum is that's being taught, either in a private or a public school setting. And they should know where to find resources to help tutor their children or to practice certain skills in math and reading and social studies and science and things of that nature. How can we create a value, create a stronger value for learning at home, not just in the brick and mortar school? This is what we could learn. This is the how. the process by which we teach young folk in post-COVID. Because here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. You just watch what I tell you all over America. What you're going to find out is that a lot of children are at least 2 to 3 years behind in terms of their grade level or learning span, in terms of mastery. Okay? That doesn't make them a bad person, but it tells us as instructors, people that are concerned, what we could and what we must do to ensure that they catch up, keep up, and surpass expectations. That's the way we look at it. We look at it as a positive, as a learning opportunity. And I said it earlier, everything we go through is a learning opportunity. Now, what is the basic mission? Essentially, it is to ensure not that public facilities control the mind and the values and the ideas of young people. That's the parents' duty and responsibility. But it is to ensure that they have a basic understanding of society and expectations and how to introduce, communicate, and govern themselves within that society. So they learn about basic things like civic. They learn things about government. They learn things about the basic things about the economy, how to count and how to function, even if you were going to go into the workforce, right? Those are some of the things that when we teach things like reading and math and even social studies, right? On the elementary, kindergarten elementary level, we're preparing for mastery in reading and early math skill sets, such that as they grow older and they advance to middle school or secondary school, right, high school, they're able to take on a higher level skill set or information or knowledge that will prepare them to function in their city, in their state, understanding what the expectations are, right? As they graduate from there, they can continue to go on to a trade school where they go more in depth into a particular trade, such as brick masonry or mechanics or electronics and things of that nature, right? And computer science, and they prepare themselves to work in a specific field. Or they can go on into the arts and science to college, right, where they have a broader perspective of what's going on around the world. That's the post-secondary process of learning, or in the college, junior college or college, four-year college. Then some people want to continue their learning. They want to take it a step further. They want to be able to understand not just the basics of universal knowledge and information, but they want to learn how to analyze and study the literature in different fields of study, you see, or specific fields. So they go to get a master's beyond a bachelor's degree, and they master the literature in that particular field of study, whatever it may be. It may be education. It may be science. It may be music, anything. But they master the literature. What other people who have contributed to that field have researched and what they've contributed, right? Then others go beyond just the master's, and they want to make their own contribution, so they go to the doctorate level as a doctor of philosophy or a doctorate in that particular field of study itself, and they expand their knowledge. But basically, what we have to do is to be focused on the fact that pedagogically, we have to change and improve the manner in which we reach all of our children. See, some people were rich enough to make sure they had private tutors teaching their children when everybody else was locked down and public schools were closed. Some had the resources to do that. Most didn't. Most didn't. And who suffered from it? Nobody but the babies. Now, I would offer these three things right here. And if we don't do anything else as we move post-COVID in our education, and we're going to soon open up the phone lines here, these are some things we should do. The process teaching particularly at-risk males who are in urban centers and cities, these learners that can't afford to go anywhere else but public schools across urban America. A fellow by the name of Albert Bandura, Stanford University, back in 1969, he came up with this theory called likeness and learning, right? And what it focuses on is patterns or feelings or actions of another person that a learner can identify with, and they learn to model themselves after that and the teacher. So the student can identify with where the teacher's coming from because they share a common or like experience. We assume that in public schools, everybody's going to learn the same thing because the curriculum is defined, generally speaking, by your state board of education and by the state legislature, right? Well, the reality is everybody don't learn on the same pace, and they don't necessarily master on the same level. So you have to be able to reach every student. Before you can teach them, you must be able to reach them, despite the difficulty in reaching them. Three things that they should learn. They should learn to identify with their best selves, what their skills and talents are. They should learn where or what their purpose in life is going to be based on what they've identified as their individual skills and talents. And this will teach them how to direct themselves moving forward, despite anything else they've been through and any other challenges and troubles that they've had. They have the basis for learning. And that's one approach to teaching young men in post-COVID experience. Now, John Legend and some other folk decided that they were going to put a song together, and it's a remake of Teddy Pendergrass when he sang with Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes, right? And this song was called Wake Up Everybody. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Give us a call here. Join us in a live conversation. This is, again, a remix of Wake Up Everybody by John Legend and Fiona, Melanie Fiona.
Wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more glasses thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh yeah.
Make a the teacher to
wait. Say what?
Maybe send them listen. What you have to say? Cause they're the ones who's coming up and the world has been made. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. Oh, yeah.
The world won't get no better.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Darfrey. Come on, get in where you fit in. 657-383-0944. We got another about an hour and about 25 minutes here before we wrap up for the night. I'm my first caller out of Jacksonville, Florida. I bet you I know who that is. Welcome, Mama D.
Hey, hey.
Is you Mama D? You're not Mama D. That's PR, Illinois, ain't it?
That's PR.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I was just going to say that just listening to that song, it takes me back to kind of childhood. And
yes,
I think things were better and more successful as it comes to education back then, because you made a good point of reaching the person first.
Right.
It seemed like our elders then took more time and more deliberate care to the approach to education. And while we've grown great leaps and bounds technology-wise, we're lacking and lagging behind.
Wow.
With
wow.
just that fundamental step being missing, because, you know, everything is right at the fingertips, but that's one thing you'll never be able to replace is human care, compassion, and, you know, all those other human things that go along. So that's important.
You know, you're saying something very powerful because concept called the digital divide. In the last maybe 10, maybe 15, maybe 20 years, there's been this growth of focus about digital education, computer science, and replacing basic vocational skills such as brickmaking, carpentry, and what have you. Home economics, right? They've been replaced with digital learning, but you're saying something, and that is that even though there's a drive to try to include everybody in that, everybody's not meeting that. Everybody's not participating.
That's right.
And
now
that's behind.
I remember having to get my GED. But what I remember, the most positive thing about that is I was in a group of other young ladies that had babies. And, man, Miss Cheryl, rest her soul, she taught us. She made sure within not even a year, I think it was 6 or 9 months, her class was centered and focused. And, yeah, it reached all of us and brought us all together again to realize that, hey, we're all battling or the same struggle, and it, we just learned so much because she put
well now. 72, we got Pastor Waller join us and Brother Don out of Selma. The other night,
hi, Pastor Waller.
Hey there, Pastor. 72, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good. And we got Don out of Selma, Alabama.
Hey, Don.
How you doing?
All right.
So I was just going to say, guys, that Don brought a very important point on the floor Tuesday night, and we had an abbreviated show then, too. And he was just saying that there's an abandoned building. I think if I understood him correctly, there used to be a bank, right? And as poor as the area around there, and people, I think Don was saying that they were shooting or something, they were fighting, and it was almost like people were in this fog of despair, but yet there's the potential and opportunity, an old bank that shut down, there's an opportunity to teach economics and things of that nature. Don, you want to speak to that, big brother, because I think that's related to what 72 was just about. One second, Don. As a society, we said we want to up the ante on learning and what's taught, but some basic things have been missed. And a lot of good people are missing out on some very basic things that can help improve the quality of life. Okay, go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
Yes, it's on Broad. It's across the railroad track on Broad. When I say across the railroad track, it's like going towards Highland. After you come off the bridge, it's like going down Broad. Then you cross the, when you cross the railroad track, that's where we are. And when you cross, and then Highland is the next main street, which is 82 coming through the city, all the way going to Demopolis. But there's a bank, abandoned bank there. You know, it was like a drive-through bank. And it's right in the middle of our neighborhood. Nobody but us Negro, Blacks, and Coloreds and African Americans live on both sides of Broad. Right over from the street is what is called Lauderdale. That's where your drugs and prostitution is. All right? But God, it's amazing how God put that next to Thomas Accounting. The young guy that runs the accounting place, he's handicapped, and he used to go to Reverend Reese Church. And the mayor right now, the present mayor, Perkins, is the pastor at church. But Thomas Account is right next to the banking building. And it's like I was telling Mr. Docker, it's like God done prepared a, you know, like he said, in the presence of the enemy, he prepared a table. He done fixed it where we could get a charter and form our own bank, and we have an opportunity chance to fix up our neighborhood. Because from Selma University, which is on Lapsley, all the way to the 8th Ward, I mean, it looks like war zone. But it's like God now done fixed it where he put a bank and an accounting thing right next to each other, and the building's for sale, and it's like it's just sitting there. Nobody's moving them.
Wow.
And listen, and we got millionaires in the town that are African-American, but it's like they are not doing it. It's like it's They just put their money in the good old boys bank.
That's a good point that you're making. Now, let me tell you something, Don. Even though you're a millionaire, nobody wants to invest in things that are not going to work because the people that they're investing in won't work them. The question is, we were talking about pedagogically or the process for teaching engagement. How do we get those people that you just described, which I'm sure are great people, to wake up, as John Legend was saying, and realize, hey, you got to value learning opportunities, man. You got to take advantage. If you're a billionaire, Don, and you invest money in that area, and say you want to go ahead and buy the bank, and you want to start a economic development institute, right? Just throwing it out.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first step, Don? What must the people themselves do to make themselves available to that? Pastor, I'm coming to you in just. So, Don, you understand, I know this hypothetical a little bit, but it's real, really, because you're saying that what you see is what you get. Signed, sealed, and delivered, that's yours in that city, in that town. And guess what, Don? There are places like that all over America, particularly in urban America. But so what's the first step for the people, Don? What kind of change do we need to teach the people to engage in?
I was riding with a minister today. We went and bought some vegetarian hamburgers, and we was talking. And he was saying today, and I was listening to him, he was talking about there's nothing going to happen until our people get a change from, you know, until they get a relationship with God and have an experience with the Holy Ghost. And I agree with it.
Watch out, boy. Boy, you better look. I think you're trying to sneak a preacher in on me, Don. Pastor Wallace, what about that? What about that, Pastor Wallace? Ain't nothing gonna happen to you until you wake up and get. Go ahead, Pastor Wall. I got something I'm gonna throw at you, Don. You just dropped the bomb on me, but I got something I'm gonna throw right back at you. What do you think about that, Brother Pastor?
Well, I think it's genuinely real because being a millionaire doesn't mean that you're equipped, you know, with everything that you're standing in need of. You just have financially, mm-hmm. you just have a lot of wealth, and then the Word of God said you can be rich in the spirit. You know, and that's the thing about a millionaire needs to get in contact and try to run down someone that's spiritually rich. You understand? It is such a thing of being spiritually rich now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
That person is just a millionaire. But I mean, I'm talking about that's understandable that is wealth. That's a beautiful thing. There's not nothing wrong with being wealthy. But when you're wealthy and the Bible has given me an instruction to walk away from the financial wealth and get a chance to get spiritually wealthy, if that makes sense. And that was not easy to do. It's just like a poor man, you know, thinking that he's going to be rich because somebody else is financially rich. That's not easy to do. But the bottom line is it's not that it can't be done. It's just that to walk away from the money that I was about to accumulate and be content in doing it, I think that was a plus for me, man. I think I put it in the book, and I made sure, because I knew how hard it's going to be for those who actually have gotten caught in the trap and get a whole lot of money.
Right.
But there's a thing that says money doesn't make everything all right. You know what I mean? You can't. Some things you just can't buy with money, man. And money, you know, is necessary. Wealth is necessary.
Yes.
But I believe that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I turn it over when I say this here. When I say it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, that means a person that's financially wealthy should be looking for a poor man like me. Looking for me.
Okay.
Trying to find his way to search me and run me down just to make sure he's ready to share his wealth and then I can share my spiritual wealth. See, one without the other won't do you no good. But if you have both, because the word says, can two walk together, except there be a tree that burns. You see?
Okay.
One protects the wealthy, and the other one is spiritually wealthy. That's a perfect combination.
Okay. All right. Well, Don, I want to offer this for your consideration, because I think this is apropos to the point that you were making, and I heard 3072 hint at this, too. The text that we led off in the monologue with tonight was 2 Timothy 3:15-16.
Watch what it said, Don. Watch what it said. 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 says, all scripture. Can I repeat that again? All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Don, if you're going to benefit from those resources, perhaps one of the first things we as a society should do is encourage people to find a relationship with the Almighty. Huh? Seek ye first the kingdom and all of them what? Righteousness. And somebody said all these things. Maybe we got the wrong focus, Don. Maybe our educational focus need to change. What do you think about that, Don?
When you talk about that educational focus needs to change, as a people in this country, do you think that we ever been properly educated? And then, Mr. Dockery, think about this. Do we know how to educate our people? You know what I'm saying? Do we have the skills to know how to educate our people?
Big brother, you're coming right down my street, man. You're coming right down my block. And I ended the monologue with this point, Don, that three things that is missing from at-risk males in urban America who tend to be despondent, to take their frustration and anger out on one another, right, and to wind up either strung out on drugs, dead, or locked up. There's a lack of identity. There's a lack of sense of purpose and direction. That's the focus that we should look at when we want to educate them. What is it? Who are you? And what is it that you're purposed to do on this earth? What direct? Where you going? Where you headed? Are y'all with me? 3072. Are you with me? I wanted to point out that education is nothing but a process. That's all it is. The real question is, what are you teaching? And what are they learning? And what we've seen in COVID, with the shutdowns and lockdowns and schools being closed, what we've seen is young folk didn't learn anything but how to get out there in them streets in many places. Not all of them, not all of them, but too many. And what they've learned is how to go out there and keep up a lot of frustration, a lot of destruction.
Well,
but they were
then
before COVID. Go ahead, 72. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, again, and maybe it's just because I don't have small children that I had to worry about, but I saw a positive with COVID and the schools being out and all that as time and reflection for parents and children. Okay, you got to make the best out of whatever situation you in, and that situation, could nobody help it? You know what I'm saying? But, again, what did you do with that time?
Right.
What did you do with the time? Why is my child behind? You feel me?
Right.
Like, what could I have done better to help keep them on track even until things get back to normal?
Well, look, 72, if I can piggytail on what you're saying, some families found themselves really discovering one another, parents and children.
Right.
Learning one another, right? Sitting at forced at home to eat with one another at the same table and stay in the house with one another all day, all night, huh?
My daughter is grown and we grew. I mean, we grew over the last year. Closer. We looked out for. Yeah, exactly.
Say what?
Yeah. So,
that's a priest right there.
Yeah.
Too.
Something positive.
You know, and that's where we have to look at this now. I think I would submit to you that's the way we should look at this. Don, we can see a desperate, despondent situation, and we could cry or we can shut down. The shortest verse in the scriptures, the shortest verse in the Bible is what? What did it say, Pastor Wallace? Jesus what? He wept.
He wept.
Cried like a newborn baby. Cry like a newborn baby. Why did he cry? Because, Don, he looked upon the earth and saw the condition of people, and it mm-hmm. made him break down and cry, man. Ain't that something, Don? Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
But look what he did, Don. He made the ultimate sacrifice for those same people that they may have a right. I didn't come to preach, but I felt my help right there. I'm feeling my help right there. So, guys, here's where we are in 2021. We can look back and we can point fingers of blame and say this one or that one, but at the end of the day, as 72 is saying, parents, guardians, family, loved ones, look to yourself. And as Don is saying, seek out those opportunities, really, to
sure.
best prepare you. Maybe somebody don't want you to have, Don, businesses.
And, yeah.
They don't want.
And I was going to add to what you were saying, even for the urban community or the black community, then mm-hmm. you should be even more stronger, knowing, like you said, that somebody's trying to put their darn foot on your neck. Then we should be looking out for one another, you know, and making wow. sure, hey, we're covering each other. No, I'm going to make sure that young boy, at least, he knows how important to finish high school is, and maybe even to look at college. But, yeah, since we know that we're in a pickle and we're in a bunch, then
mm-hmm.
what's the problem? What are we going to do,
that
just keep sitting around and not saying or doing nothing about it?
Great point. And, you know, Pastor Waller, we know that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We know that, right? But the question is,
yes,
despite what the enemy is doing, what are we going to do? Are we going to teach and plant life in our young people,
mm-hmm.
speak it into them? Are we going to model that for them? Are we going to hold them up? You follow what I'm saying, Brother Pastor?
Yeah, 3072 said it all right there, too, Pastor. You know, it's like, what are we going to do about it? So, in
right.
other words, there's that for action. You know, that seem to be, you know, a ways that looks like that is right in the man's way of it. It seems like it's the best thing going, but
mm-hmm.
it's the end of death. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it could be like that. Sometimes it just seems like this is the way to go. Well,
mm-hmm.
what am I saying? But the world's way looks like it is the way to go. And it's
mm-hmm.
nothing you can take from that when you see it, other than if you walk in by faith and not by sight, then you can see through it. But if you
yeah.
cannot, and if you're not spiritually fit, you cannot see anything but the world's way being the best way. If you don't have that
yeah.
way of
yeah.
looking at things. And I tell you, I mean, coming from the world like I did, and you run across somebody like myself when I was living that way, and I can display something 3072 and make it look very attractive. Not to try
mm-hmm.
to do harm, not to trip somebody, but it's just
sure.
something that I'm doing, and suddenly people would be starting to gravitate to that. And that became painful years later when I found out how misleading it was, how I was
mm-hmm.
misleading a whole community. You know what I mean? Community was following my pattern, whether they was couldn't wait to get out of the yard or whether they had
mm-hmm.
already eat out of the yard, and, you know, and then it was just a pass down. So back to what you were saying, Pastor Doctor, and 3072, what are we doing to pass down some positive, good information,
mm-hmm.
something that's meaningful, because they're going to watch what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, I'm looking at a thing that I was doing on the basketball court one day. Check this out, last year. So I was just spinning the ball on my finger. I didn't know the kid was behind me on another goal, and he was imitating me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it. You know how
mm-hmm.
I got a chance to see it? When I got a chance to
okay.
see the film. I'm like, that little
mm-hmm.
kid was trying to do everything that I was doing. And I mean, he was down on just doing it. Not to mention, he was left-handed. That really got to me when I discovered he was left-handed. So I say, that's a good thing. At least he's seeing something positive that I was
yeah.
doing. And made him want to learn how to do it from a distance. You see? So whatever it is, if we're showing good examples, and I'll say this and I'll really turn it back over again. you know, it's like this. It says, when I am old and gray-headed, forsake me not, Lord, until I show to this generation your power. And the generation come, meaning that what am I passing down? And that's the thing about it, you know. Give me a chance to pass something good down, because I passed enough bad down. You know, I don't want to continue that. And that's what's going on. I mean, out in the field today, I just have to be honest, seeing now, it's like a destruction that has a power to it that's exciting. You know, the words that they're speaking, the dances that they're doing, you understand? And it's like the fun that they're having doing it. And they're displaying it. Matter of fact, you put it on social media in a minute to make the world see it. And have little kids, a little bit of baby, standing there watching them do them dances, you know, right in front of them. And then they have a nerve to do this right here, ask the little baby, you going to dance something? And the little baby's only about 3 years. Take their hands and no, I'm not going to dance. I would love for that little baby to be able to say that for the duration of her life. But chances are, if they keep showing her that and showing her them dances, that
it's going to become a way of life.
And this was just today. This was today. And they don't mean no harm, but this is what they're displaying. And it's a tough job. Tough job. We got a lot of work to do.
Absolutely. So Big Buzz Don, you know, I've come to conclude that maybe the real focus is not on the problem with the young folk as it is us grown folk who hadn't got ourselves together and hadn't provided the right platform or playground, if you will, for the babies to grow up in. Is that when we can't get together now, we can't agree with one another, right? We're at one another's throat. We're at odds. We're in disagreement and what have you said. Is that part of the problem, Don?
I think so, Mr. Darkey. I think that's the big problem. The older generation that's after my grandfather's generation, I think those ones, okay, after they passed that Civil Rights Act of 1964, we got those jobs and we got that money, and we lost focus on what Granddaddy and them was doing before.
Wow. Wow.
That's what I see.
Wow.
Exactly what I see.
And they didn't have a lot of formal education. Your granddaddy they didn't have a lot of formal education, did they, Don?
Mm-mm. No, but they was together. Cun Henry, Cun Adam. And right now, Mr. Dockery, I'm hurting right now because I'm talking to Shirley Emerson, which Cun Henry was her grandfather. But I'm talking to Shirley right now, right from where y'all are in Nashville, north part of Dixon County. We owned a lot of land. Guess what the generation is doing right now? They getting rid of it. There's 840s going around Nashville. They getting rid of it.
But that seems to be a pattern a lot of places, Don, where the first generation, second generation pass on, they leave property and transfer some sort of wealth to young folks. They don't see the value appreciation for maintaining it, right? Keeping it up. Not just having it, but putting the resources in to keep it up, in you understand? So the city don't come back and take it from you. You see what I'm saying, Don?
Yes, sir. That's happening right here in Selma.
Again, it's not so much the young people, because they ain't supposed to know on it. That's why they need parents. They need adults. Now watch this, Pastor Wallace. What Thomas Byrne suggests, sometimes this is a theologian and an educator, what he suggests is that there is a certain similar relationship between a pastor or preacher and his parishioners that's consistent with parents and children. They look to them for instruction, look to them for guidance. They look to them for example. If I'm talking about myself now, Brother Pastor, if the preacher ain't got himself together, what the rest of the folk going to do? I'm thinking about the text that said judgment begin in the house of God. And I'm paraphrasing.
Yes,
but if the folk in the house of God ain't got their act together, what the sinners going to do? Help me, Holy Ghost. Talk to me, somebody. Somebody help me with that so I want to get myself right tonight.
Well, you spoke the truth, man. You spoke the truth, and the truth is, that's what the word says. But it's about how many people know that that's what it says. And that's the thing about it, you know, a lot of times, you know, the song years ago when it says nobody's interested in learning but the teacher, there's no student. If there's no students, I mean, the teacher is going to teach something that they have to offer. But who are we going to teach it to? You understand? And it's just like good information to oneself. The streets are teaching people things. Brother, that's why I said, like, the little baby watching those. The little baby stood there and watched them do them dances.
That's right.
That's one example. The little baby was focused on watching those dances, but just seemed like she didn't like the dances that they were doing, or just was, like, too unaware, too much in the form of being unaware of how to do those dances probably was going on. But in her mind, she's seeing it. And 3072 said it best. She continued to grow. She's going to have it in her mind. Man's parents ready to give it a shot to see if she can do those dances. And I mean, when I talk about honoring to another level, I mean, right in her face. And that's just the way that the streets, they're offering what they have. And you can't belittle them because wherever they got it from, however it came into play, it's working. It's working, and it's causing more, not only a distraction, it's becoming a lifestyle of joy, happiness, freedom. You know, it seems like it has all of that, but that's that gift of life. It's a lie, man. And, you know, if you don't know the Lord, then this is what a person is going to adapt to, according to what I'm seeing out in the world. But I'm thankful, man, to know that there is another side, and it can be accomplished. It's just about how to get their attention to be able to just take a chance, because they're going to have to take a chance, man. Addictions are strong. Addictions
sure
are powerful.
They're
addicted to the world way. A lot of them are.
Something else, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but just think about it. Maturation is becoming a thing of the past now.
Wow.
Nobody wants to live in the years of you being 45 or 47 or 52. Everybody wants to try to stay 20, 30. You know what I'm saying? And like he was saying, that's supposed to be the happy, the good life, but you've been there already. So how can you carry the youth forward when you're staying behind? You feel me? You can't really teach them anything new when you're stuck in the past. And that's not happiness because guess what? Women, your body is not 25 anymore. You can keep on trying to get the butt injections or putting on too little clothes or keep buying the wigs and the week. Guess what, baby? At 45, at 50, your hair is going to thin.
You better watch
this. I mean, your butt going to drop. It's just with age.
What?
But you should be able to take your youth on into the future to share with the next generation coming. Help them to live more productively than you did, even.
And look.
Help them to find out what true happiness is. At some point, you should be relaxed and able to be in a settled kind of, you know what I'm saying? Because eventually you're going to die.
I know what you're saying. Let me add something to what you're saying. You talk about the ladies. What about these old, musty cats, 50, 60 years old, dressing like they're 15, chasing these little young girls? Help us all.
Yeah, well, that's, and I only said the ladies because I've even put myself included in that, too.
Okay.
So I wasn't trying to beat up on anybody, but just, you know what exactly. Exactly.
What we're speaking to is the barrier to learning. To the young people, this is why the babies have a hard time comprehending, because when they look to the people that preceded them, that's supposed to be the example, that they expect to give them the guidance, they say, well, Dad, if you're going to try to be young like me, I'm already young. I ain't got to learn that, because I'm already backwards and don't know my right from my left. I don't need to follow you down that road. So there's no respect for authority.
No, and it's going to deter them from growing and maturing, too. There's nothing wrong with being a beautiful 50-year-old woman or a handsome 60-year-old man or, you know, with some wisdom and some sense.
Right.
I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That is a beautiful thing, actually.
Now, you don't see nothing wrong with that, do you? Being grown and mature and you're living in your experience. Do you see that? Anything wrong with that, Don?
Mr. Ducker, I'm 61, and there's a brother above me. Right, he's right up the street. He's a Seventh-day Adventist minister. He's got his license. And I only met one sister in this town that's on the level that me and my father and them was on with vegetarian, and that's Sister Freya. She won't open up a vegetarian restaurant. Because I get up and walk through Selma every morning. Don't think I don't. I go where the drugs are put. I go downtown with the wealthy. And you know something? I was going to say something to the sister. You know what's really shocking to me in Selma? And, you know, I'm a single man, and me and my wife separated. You know what's really shocking to me? The females today, they act real. It's not like the females are old. They act, you know, it's like they act real. I can't get it. It's like they are not strong like the older sisters. They act like they can't even have children today. I don't get it.
I agree with you.
You know, mom and them came out of slavery and they had 10 children, you know. Just think about it. They had children. They still came and were strong. Today, man, these girls, I don't get it. I just stop and just look at them and go, like, I don't get it. And some of the men, and I don't get either, Mr. Darby, fighting all the time. I don't get that.
Yeah. Well, look, Don, can I say this? What girl with an old, musky rascal to pump a bunch of babies in and not be there to help take care of? Can you appreciate that?
Yep, I can on that level. But then you got, look at this, Mr. Darby. You got Planned Parenthood who's intentionally to knock us out.
I see what, but we don't have to embrace that, Don. Who is we?
That's true.
Who is we? Anybody who values the growth and development of family, you ain't got to embrace that. Even though Planned Parenthood, that's what they are. You ain't got to embrace it. They ain't got to be your
family. I think Don was saying about the women not being, you know, moms like they used to be. Okay, so even the moms of yesterday, when they did make a mistake by some old whoever pumping up full of babies and leaving, she womaned up and was a mama. She wasn't still trying
to just
run out in the street. And you know
what
I'm saying? She doing what we're talking about should be done today. Okay, I messed up. I got three baby daddies in here, but I'd be damned if my daughter's going to have that same situation.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow.
No, it's like we're teaching, not we're, I'm just going to say, some people are teaching their daughters to make the same mistakes they did.
Interesting.
That's a danger too,
because that is real.
Yeah.
I want to say this because, you know, the word of God does say, and that's something that, again, a lot of people just don't know anything about, the world where it's so attractive. But Paul penned this here in Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the, right here, it says, be an example in word, in conversation, in charity, meaning to love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then once you get hooked up like that, if you connect it like that, and you being an example, that's what you're going to pass down. But if they do not have that to pass down, it's going to be an ongoing self-destruction type of atmosphere. So it's going to have to get to a point where the enemy is going to have to be stripped power. And remember, I said it's power, you know, because it does have power. And being out in the world without God in your life, the enemy has all rights to lure you in. It doesn't matter if you come out of a person, out of a family who's spiritually fit, and he definitely wants you anyway. So if you can go to your kids to get to you to say, yes, I know you wanted to train them up in the way they should go, But if I can get to that person, I'm going to make sure that I get him. Because when you think like a child, the word says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood as a child. I reasoned as a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Do you know there's a lot of people having put away childish things? That's why they still hang out there and trying to see the things that they're doing, as you said, about age-wise. Trying to be an age that they're not. That means they're pretending to be something that they're not, which only deceives themselves, trying to deceive somebody else. The enemy got a wicked way of doing things. And I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, the enemy know how to display it very well because it's happening right now. But there's still hope. And that's the thing. There is still hope. But words are so powerful. They say life and death is in the power of the tongue. So right now, out in the world, the percentage of what they're speaking is death. 80%, probably more than that, but I'm just going to go ahead on and get 80%. That's almost 100, man. Thank God for the hope that those are speaking life, man. It's a thin line because the road of speaking life is a narrow road. And the road, the broad and the wide, it's speaking nothing but just death. I mean, it's a lifestyle, and it's attractive. 37-2, I mean, when I say it's attractive, you know, because I'm out in the world a lot, and I have to meet people right where they are, because I don't never try to tell them to not do this and that, never. I just try to be an example. You see, being an example, every now and then I have a chance to pull one out of the bunch, like I was able to do the other day. I was able to pull one of them out of the bunch. They was over there shooting dice and doing that thing, but one of them was able to come over there and have a chance to talk with me. And so God can use him to touch the other ones, you know.
That's right,
what they heard Minister Rick talk about. You see, he can delay it to them versus them being open because they already took the land because they shoot dice. They don't know. I used to shoot dice, and I was real dangerous. They read my book and they didn't realize. That was something that I did real well, 37-2. So it's not that I'm going to put them down. I wouldn't dare put them down because that would be a disrespect to put them down when God is going to say, Ricky, you remember when you used to do that? And I mean, I'm like, he's my witness. Yes. So I wouldn't go at them like that. I would just let them know there is a way to escape. And that's just the way it is, man. So interesting conversation, I tell you.
What do you do with me? I'm gonna assume the role of the persona that we talked about. What do you do with me when I've been around a long time, but as 72 suggested, I don't want to be mature, but I want everybody to look to me. I want everybody to come to me and give me everything that I want, but I don't want to be mature. What do you do with me? Well, done. Help me, y'all. What? Do you throw me away? Do you chop me up? Do you lock me in a dungeon somewhere? What do you do with
me? Don't do that. You,
Mr. Dockery.
Go ahead, Don.
You know, growing up in America and the Baptist church setting, I'm going to say something to you. And then, you know, like we had Malcolm and Elijah Muhammad came on the scene. And out of that dynamic of Malcolm and Elijah, I experienced Minister Master G there in Nashville, which is Brother James Muhammad, and he was under the Nation of Islam in the first crescent. And then experiencing Brother Bonzeal, you know, with the gang situation with the L. Rookins, and experienced the crescent in the last quarter. My theology changed. Sitting with General Cabal, the L. Rookins, and he looked at me one day and said, Don, Jesus wasn't crucified. And I looked at him and said, what are you talking about? And I went to dig into that. And I'm going to say this to the ministers. Pastor Waller just made a statement. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. What kind of theology, spiritual information have we been given the masses of people? These Sunday mornings that we've been taught, you know, which that ain't the real Sabbath. I don't come to learn that. What is the spiritual information we give in our people? And I'm going to say this to the two ministers. I watch ministers, and as a child growing up, and I watch what you say and the information that comes from your tongue to the sister even listening right now, because it affects them what we say from the tongue. Have we ever told our sisters that Simon the Syrian was compelled to carry Jesus' cross? Have we ever told our sisters from the pulpit that Jesus never did take that cross again? You can't find nowhere in the passage that Jesus took that cross back again. And where did the concept, the ideal of the cross came from? Where did the concept of the crescent came from? Have we ever talked to our sisters about that?
Okay. So let me respond to that, Don. So it sounds like it would be very helpful for you, me, and Pasquale, anybody else, to lock ourselves, Don, lock ourselves as grown men with a concern and an interest about our people. Lock ourselves in a room or a space together until we come out with the agreement on how to take care of our women, our children, our community, our family. What's wrong with that, 3072? We all say we got answers. We got solutions. Lock ourselves in and don't come out again until we come into agreement. That's what's behind this 6x6 room I've been telling y'all about. I'm talking about myself first, John. We can talk all day about what's happening. But guess what? We don't live on the island by ourselves, and you're going to have to deal with that next man when you walk and you see him on the street. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to square up with him and talk real and be in agreement. Circumscribe yourself with your brother. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in what? Unity.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. The unity, brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we got some mess, Don, we need to clean up within ourselves. I say we now. I'm including me in that. Whatever my mess is, I need to clean it up. That way, when we come together as men, as brothers, we can wash our hands of the sins of our past, and we can come pure and clean with one another, shoot straight. Then we can get something done.
Mm-hmm.
And see, one of the reasons we can't trust one another, Don, is because you think I'm on the tape, and perhaps I think you on the tape. So we're holding back. We ain't putting everything in there like we could. Are y'all walking with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
What do you say, Pastor?
Yeah, and that is terrible, you know, because in that type of way of thinking, it causes person not to make moves that can be made. That's why I like the team-oriented way of doing things. And then it came from sports. It came actually from, you know, no matter how good I could shoot the basketball, I had nothing to do with that. It had to do with what I love to do the most when I was on the court, 30-72. You know, I do a lot of different things right now as I was doing when I was young. But the thing I love to do the most was pass the ball to somebody. You know, if they wasn't on the scoreboard, they just got paid, and I'm going to do all I can do to get that ball to them because I want to see them on the scoreboard. And that's just the way I come up. You know, it's something about being able to be that team-oriented individual that loves to see governments grow. You know, even though I was in my insanity, but I made sure that in my surroundings, I made sure everybody had a chance to some of what I had to offer. And today, you know, being able to be inside the will of God and being as a team, I may not know how to do everything everybody else knows how to do, but I can do what I know how to do, and I have to be willing to present that. And that's the way it's designed, and that's the order of a team. You know, like with Dennis Rodman, I'm using for an example, this guy wouldn't bring that ball down the court because that wasn't a good thing for him. But if he could play the game, they need him down there to get a rebound, you know, or to distract somebody and things like that. So you have to have your individual position and learn how to play it well. And believe me, it'll work out a lot better that way because everybody's on the same court. You see, some people just didn't know how to shoot the ball.
Right.
If you read my book, I didn't want the ball in my hand, Pastor Doctor. I did not want the ball in my hand. Okay. I wanted it in my partner's hand. Give it to him because it would be better off in his hand than it would be in mine. I mean, I would accept it, but I'd rather put it in his hand. I'm just using for an example. And that should be okay. Yeah, that's what good, that's what teamwork is all about.
Yeah,
great leader, but you have to know exactly what he's doing and know how to do it. So why not follow the instructions on what he know how to do? And, you know, don't try to hold him back. Just know that a good team, as you said about Psalm 133 in verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Man, there's so much power in it. If only we can just find that unity, and I tell you, things can change. Things can change. I just put it like that. Things can change.
Can change. That's
change,
right.
Change the things right now. They can be changed, but we have to get on one accord to do it.
Right. Well, y'all consider this. It's two things that the master, the one done that came to teach the building of the temple of a perfect man. Okay? These are the two things he really left. We come up with a whole lot of things, a lot of criteria. But the two things the master said is this. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Somebody asked. And the master said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first great commandment. Then he went on further to say this, Don. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen. One of the reasons we can't get along with other people, because we haven't learned how to love ourselves first. So it's difficult to love our brother. Help me, Holy Ghost. When we look in the mirror, we're unhappy, Don, with what we see. So we take that out on our brother when we see him. I wish I had a boy. I feel like preaching right now, but you understand what I'm saying? That's our challenge. That's our challenge in 2021 post-COVID. If we want to teach young people, want to teach these young brothers and sisters how to grow up and how to be men and women, then maybe we need to look in the mirror a little bit harder and ask ourselves, when can I overcome my own fault so that I can trust, love, and bond with my brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I believe we get somewhere like that. See, that's one thing we should learn out of COVID. That one thing we can learn post-COVID is how to get along with one another, Don, because we all in poverty. We all struggling. Huh, Don? You walk down the same street, everybody see the same track. It never ceased to amaze me how you can look, man, at a certain block and see trash thrown everywhere. And I have personally, right outside of our church, came and picked the trash up, and I'd be there and 24 hours later, it was just as filthy as it was. What's up with that?
And then people sitting up looking at you like, what you doing? Why are you picking it up? What?
You
should be helping. What? Come on.
We just got 15 minutes for the rest of the night. But, Don, you laid something on the floor the other night, brother, that's powerful, and that is how to look at a dead situation and bring it to life. Somebody has to have a desire and will and bring those situations. No matter how much despair you see and how much you've been written off, look, take that try. One man's hell is another man's heaven. You throw it in the trash. I remember my daddy used to go around and pick up junk, Don. And what he would do when he got through with that junk, he sold it because it made it look pretty. Got some screws and some other stuff, fixed it up. And look, before he knew it, folk didn't even know it was junk at one point in time after he got through polishing it up and fixing it up. But you understand what I'm saying? So there's yet hope. Man, look at time, Pastor. Well, look at time. We got about 14 minutes before we have to call it quits tonight. But we've been talking from the topic. How do you educate a young man in the 21st century, post-COVID era. Now, why we say post-COVID? Simply because in the last year, everything was shut down, and now people are positioned to restart over again. One of the things we have to do is to reset the process by which we educate, we love, and teach our young folks. But that starts with an old folk getting our stuff together first. Y'all heard me say it before. Ain't nothing worse than a fool than an old fool. Because Don, an old fool had plenty of time to stuff together. How about that, Don? How about that, Don? 72, let me end on you with this one point. Let me end with you on this one point. Now we can cry and we can make excuses and we can tell everybody on Mount Everett who's at fault. But who's the one person that has the power to change their situation, their circumstance? Help me with that, 72.
Well, I mean, the person is, with the help of God, of course. So,
okay.
Whatever you want to do, you can do it.
Hey, ain't nothing between you but an opportunity.
Yeah. Now, sometimes things will get difficult. I'm asking y'all to pray for me and my new job. That's been a task, but again, I realize that I hold the ultimate power to, you know, press on through and master it.
Go.
I mean, so, yeah, whatever you want to do, you can do
it.
Follow the process.
I love the way you put that. Nobody said that the road was going to be easy. But don't ever believe he brought you this far. Huh? You made it this far. See, Hebrews 11:1, I didn't come to preach, Pastor Wallace. It just made the statement. Now, faith is the substance of the thing hope. Let me back up and put a pin right there. Faith is the stuff, the mess you done. And you know he brought you this far. That gives you hope that tomorrow he'll keep you. Because
mm-hmm.
we've been making do it for a night. But joy.
That's
if I had to preach, that would be my thought right there, Pastor. Joy come in the morning. All right, let me stop right there. I'm feeling my health. I'm feeling my health. Let's go around the table. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. That's the good news. That's good news. That's good news. That's good news. So what we see here then after tonight is that despite what happened yesterday, tomorrow is up to us as to what we make out of it. Is that a fair conclusion? From everything we said tonight.
Yep.
Can I get a? Would y'all agree with that? That
we have
no matter what happens. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, we have a part to play in it and with it. You know, because the word of God says this is the day that
mm-hmm.
the Lord has made. But he tell us to rejoice and be glad in it. In other words, that's a part that we have to play in, whether we
right.
know it or not.
Right.
You know, if you're afraid or ashamed to rejoice in it, then that's another thing. But when he gives us that, that's why it's so tough for people out in the world, 30-72, is that they are, a lot of them are afraid because they think they're doing something so wrong that they have respect for the Lord to not enter into his way of doing things, because right now
right.
they're doing what they're doing. And that's tough.
Yeah.
They need a reminder that that's not the way he do his thing. He wants them just like they are. And it would be awesome if they came. Just all just came to him just like they are, you know, trouble and all. But they don't
mm-hmm.
want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do that. Anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, let's give us a final thought there, 72, and then we'll go to Brother Don, and we'll bring this. We got a little bit more time, 72, if you want a thought there. What's your take from that conversation? What would you leave
well,
someone to
talk? I'm inspired by the conversation, and I was just going to say that we have to remember, again, like you said, how important process is. First, I have to get up off the couch. Then I have to take 3 steps to the right. Then I had to put my hand on the light switch. Then, you know, so we can only do the things that are ordered to do in the order in which they come. You can just touch one person at a time. But when you touch them, it should be effective enough, like Pastor Waller said, for them to be able to go and duplicate how you touch them. They should touch somebody else.
Wow.
And so on and so on.
Well said. Well said. Thank you so much, man. I believe that's fruit for thought right there. That's fruit for thought. John, big brother, thank you for joining us. Give us something that leave us with a nugget that we can chew on tonight, Don.
Mr. Docker, I'm glad Pastor Wiley is with us, and I'm going to say this to him. You know, he talked about the drug thing, and I'm from Middle Tennessee, and I'm going to tell him something. When I left from Cleveland to go to Chicago, my father was in the process of running for Congress, and I didn't know that. But when I got to Chicago, I met a guy from Franklin, Tennessee, that ran the Vice Lords. And that was Thurston William Darden. I want Mr. Wiley to hear this. And at the end of his life, I went to see him. He had cancer up at Cook County Hospital.
Is that right?
And he inspired me, and that's probably the reason why I strive today. You know, I love Middle Tennessee. And Pastor Wiley, when you came on last week, before I called y'all last week, I was watching the piece on YouTube of Joe Gilliam. Joe Gilliam was one of my, when I was coming up, I thought he was the most amazing man that I ever saw. But to see how he ended up at the end, and my cousin of mine in Athens City came to me and talked to me on how he ended at the end. And can I say something? Joe Gilliam is still one of my inspirations today, even though he's end at the end.
Yeah.
So
Jefferson B. Joe. They say Joe Gilliam can stand at 20 at TSU and throw a football down the 8th Avenue and Rosa Parks. Man, that boy had an arm on him, boy.
Man. Yeah, we used to hang together, and he was the way he threw the ball. He'd put a hole in your arm, man, like he shot you or something, the way he threw the ball.
Wow.
He had so much to make you bleed. Yeah,
wow.
I seen him do it.
Okay. Thank you, Don. Great thought, man. Great thought. That's something we can chew on right there. We can chew on that. All right, Pastor, we're going to throw it to you, sir. Wrap us up for tonight. You've been listening to Talk Straight. We've been talking from the topic. How do you educate these young folks in 2021, post-COVID era? Well, one, we realize you got to put the Word of God in there, and you got to make sure that grown folk are in order so they can be perfect examples for them. I'm going to turn the floor over to Pastor Waller to wrap us up for tonight. You listen to Talk Straight. This show's Reverend Dr. I co-host Pastor Ricky Waller. Come on, give it to us, Brother Pastor.
Hey, man, I appreciate the conversation tonight. I want to thank God for everybody who had a chance to talk and for those who were just listening. You know, there's something about members, and Brother Don took and I just had to take a moment, you know, and just reflect and thank God for what he presented to us as an innocent young man, as he was, that got caught in the trap, but was the greatest quarterback that ever lived, and he prepared for the brothers today who are playing in that position. Had it not been for what Joe went through, I don't think those brothers would have been able to hold their position. So I thank God for the members. And the Word of God says in Lamentations 3:21, it's all to my mind. Therefore have I hope. And I still fight with Joe on my mind, you know, to make our city a better place, because we used to hang out together. And what he presented to me, what he shared with me, we'll talk about it on another time. But the team that he was winning for, they didn't even like it. And that, to me, you know, had a lot to do with how he was dealing with it. But again, thank God for the memory. You know, if you recall, that means that you can look back. There's nothing wrong with that. sometimes it just feels good to remember when. The OJ said it like this. You know, sometimes people think you can't live in the past, but sometimes it feels good to remember when. And I just want to thank God for you bringing him up. I yield back to you on that note.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Listen, we'll be back next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight. And I'm looking forward to having a guest come on, and we're working through that, basically, to deal with some things that are very, very important as we talk about educating and certain values, you know. That's what we want to do this year, is to offer positive, productive information to our listeners. Audience. Thank you, Brother Don, out of Selma, Alabama, 3072 out of Jackson, Florida, and Pastor Waller right here in Nashville, Tennessee with us. We'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. We'll let John Legend, The Roots, and Melanie Fiona Common take us home for the rest of the night. We'll see y'all next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight there.
Wake up all the doctors, wake the old people well. They're the ones who suffer, and we catch all the hell. We don't have no bad laws for their judgment day. The ones who make them happy before they pass away. Oh, yeah.
Wake up all the builders, time to build up the land. I know we can do it if we all have a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. All the things will work out, cause they do every time.
What is it? The world won't get no better. Let it be. Song. I want the type to say, I'm with my heart on my